Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder. I'm in North America, and with me today, as always, is Jan in South Africa, and we have a featured and esteemed guest, Alison Chablot, in the UK and the Europe generally, and we're going to discuss in sort of a tricontinental report what's going on in all of these areas, and we'll begin in the U.S. What's going on is we have sort of these open weeping sores that are violence committed by the communists called Antifa, coupled with the violence committed by the black thugs known as BLM. Both of Antifa and BLM are, of course, Jew-funded. And, you know, blacks being very criminal in their behavior, there's always an incident they can use as a pretext to get inflamed about, and the media always backed them. So most recently, it was in Philadelphia. Cops are told to stand down is what I saw, and later they found like a van full of explosives and what have you. And they, you know, did their usual riot and loot thing that they've been doing for, it seems like, years now. Cops told to stand down. Meanwhile, out on the West Coast, they're getting toward 200 days with only one or two days off of violent riots and attacks on police in Portland. The election is 5 days away. Trump is at plus 155. In the money poll, as it were, in the political polls, he's down by, I don't know, I suppose 8 or 9 or 10 points in the money poll, where they have to pay if they lose. Trump's plus 155. If you bet 100, you win 155. Biden's the favorite there. But I personally believe that Trump is going to win. And the only way he loses is if the Democrats steal the election. That is a big, real threat. One election the Democrats stole was, and the way you steal it is just in the key states where there's a percentage point or two difference, is they stole the election for JFK from Richard Nixon back in 1960, and Richard Nixon didn't contest it because it would hurt the country. And to me, that's a complete, proves what a joke democracy is and what a satire it is. You can't even count the votes correctly. Anyway, Trump is out campaigning and drawing huge crowds. And I've said before, PJ O'Rourke, there's no getting through to the highly perceptive. And he realized that this was back in the 80s, that the reason people were standing in the rain for hours and hours was not to vote for the party in power. They were voting to kick out the Sandinista communists. Well, here it's kind of the opposite, because they're lining up for hours and attending in huge masses to hear Trump, who has been balked every step of the way and never given a fair chance by the media. I do believe Trump will be reelected. Of course, it will be close, but basically at this point, there's been so much abuse of Trump, and the people hate the media and they like Trump, and so they identify him, even if what he does isn't objectively pro-white, as 90% of it is not, which is the reason I don't vote. Still, the people... he is de facto more or less seen to symbolize normal white America, at least in a lot of what he says, if not what he does, defends that kind of thing. And that's why the media hate him, and the public to some degree understands this. So I think he's going to be reelected, even though he's, according to all the polls that were completely wrong last time, saying that he's down by 9 or 10 points. So that's pretty much the situation in the U.S. right now.
Well, Alex...
Yeah, if you have any questions, ask me. I mean, we woke up on a day in which, you know, we see a Muslim terrorist kills three people in France. And, of course, the Jews media here is trying to hide that it's a Muslim terrorist doing it. So this is the situation we're in. And I'm sure Alison will have more to say about that. But anyway, any questions, I will answer them.
Okay, Alex. My first question is Trump. I actually watched a whole presentation he gave, a whole talk he gave in Arizona, I think it was. And it was just interesting to hear him talking, and the crowd really likes him. And I noticed that Trump even went and said that the news media that he normally refers to as the fake news media, he says he now calls them the corrupt news media. He says they are totally corrupted. And so he's taking an even harder stand.
I forgot you reminded me, I'm glad, of the biggest thing I forgot is that the biggest new development here was that it came out just utter, and this is such an irony, after 4 years of claiming that Russia was manipulating Trump and Russia and he was their puppet, it came out in absolute black and white that the person he's running against, Biden, is absolutely part of a criminal network involving the Chinese at very high levels, as well as other states. He is 100% proved to be an influence and access peddler. So he's quite literally just a criminal. And the main takeaway is the main media, which is the social media and the news media, absolutely refused to cover it, did everything possible they could to quash that one of the main contenders is an out-and-out criminal, as proved by his son's emails and what various other people high up in his employ, his partners of his son, utterly quashed. So that's the situation we're in, where the main media is more Pravda-like than it ever has been. It absolutely is 100% partisan, openly anti-white, and refusing to cover the most basic matters. I mean, they've been insisting for years and years that a child could see was absurd, that Russia was manipulated our last election, and that's one. Utterly absurd. No one would take that seriously, but the media have always played along. They actually get an investigation going through Congress. And now Biden's actually doing, it's just, in a Jew-controlled system, all politicians, whether Jew or not, turn out to act like that, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, or Biden. They all, the people who aren't Jews who rise to the top in a Jew system behave exactly like the Jews. And part of that is accusing you of what they are actually doing. And that's what we see with Biden and Trump. It's absolutely outrageous. Just the worst sort of censorship, suppression, and oppression of any ability to fight back or just live an independent life where you don't have to confirm all this communist garbage. You know, the BLM running around demanding that people say, I support Black Lives, this type of thing. This mentality, this utterly Soviet criminal mentality where you're forced to agree with them on everything and there's no private life, is a personalist political. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
I agree.
Well, Alex,
I mean, that's exactly what's going on. And the reason Trump's going to win is because, see, we're already at the point where if people not only get beat up and lose their jobs for it used to be the way that white nationalists were treated and racialists were treated. That's now the way mainstream Republicans are treated. For a guy who's a complete civic nationalist who doesn't value race at all, actually loves black people, whose entire family and life has been spent in a Jewish milieu and context, and his kids have married into them, he's now getting treated the way that we all get treated for being overt racialist. So this is how far left it's moved and how full they are of the sense that the communist revolution is just over the horizon. And so what that means, we're 5 days before the election, is that people are afraid to tell pollsters what they actually think because it can have very real life influence or real effects on their lives. So the hidden vote for Trump is going to be there and he will win is what I believe. But it's the U.S. is just declining very, very rapidly.
The West is declining very rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole West. I mean, you can't speak freely about it. Here we have complete, We have legal freedom of speech, but you better have your own house. You better have some kind of setup, because if you have any kind of job or any kind of thing where they can get at you, they absolutely will. And they can cancel your bank account. Happened to me. They can go through your email. Oh, I found out about that recently. I won't go into it too much. So I've got a freedom of information request out on that. But yeah, they paw through your email. So you can speak freely and you're not going to be thrown in prison for that. But if you even work at McDonald's, the media will eventually get onto you and then go to your employer and get you fired. So de facto, you have to prepare the ground very carefully if you don't want to be absolutely wiped out personally, if you choose to exercise. And the USA is pretty much the only white Western country left where there is even formal free speech. And the left certainly doesn't like that. And if it wasn't a legacy law, we certainly wouldn't have it. And they've been chipping away at it for decades. And if the left fully gets back in power, it'll get, not that even under Trump, it hasn't been seriously chipped away at, but eventually the left will simply make it a capital crime to criticize Jews, which is what they did in the Soviet Union. That's where they're ultimately headed. Or any group associated with the Jews, you know, as well, criticizing by already de facto, they don't kill you for that, but they will destroy your private life and call it social justice.
Yeah.
If they don't have the formal legal law there, but that's the state of the U.S.
Yeah, well, it's much the same in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really
it's worse in Europe. We do have a, you know, certain laws. I think with all this stuff happening in France and with Turkey and the Muslim countries and freedom of speech, Macron delivered a speech earlier this year in which he said, I think he was in the Middle East somewhere, and he was saying, but in France, we do have the right to criticize the president. We have the right to blaspheme religion and... Yeah, there's the right to blaspheme. This is all to do with Charlie Hebdo and the cartoons, which that was in 2015. And this case is now again happening in court. There's some kind of court case, some high court case in France to do with the original Charlie Hebdo terrorist attack.
And see, Allison, I don't know if you realize how that's covered in the U.S. I'm sure you probably do, but... whenever free speech is brought up in relation to Europe, it's always that you're not that in relation to Muslims.
Yeah.
The Muslims are trying to take away the free speech, and yet, you know, they are. But what about the Jews? Never mentioned anywhere. Never mentioned any of the, what is it, Hervé Ryssen or however it's pronounced.
Yes. Well, Khomeini tweeted earlier today, the next question is, why is it illegal to doubt to bring into doubt the Holocaust in Europe, yet it's okay to blaspheme the prophet? Why aren't more Western leaders asking these questions?
That's funny. They hauled Mark Zuckerberg into Congress just literally, and Jack Dorsey, I think it was just yesterday, at least Dorsey was, and they're like, well, you allowed the guy in Iran to doubt the Holocaust. So they browbeat them over that they are allowing like certain foreign leaders. And that's the basis on which free speech is talked about here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so to announce this court case, Charlie Hebdo, what did they do? Well, they reprinted these cartoons, and this led to this teacher being beheaded 2 weeks ago, and today we've seen the news again. France, the teacher was a Chechenian, the guy. Who teacher was a Chechenian, and I'm not exactly sure about this today, but it's something to do with some Syrian liberation.
Yeah, this was a few days ago, and today there were three more murders, and one more they shot the guy before, and two of them were beheaded. So that's three beheadings within a couple of weeks.
It's interesting because
out of four murders,
some of the Arab countries, including Turkey, because Charlie Hebdo published a cartoon about Erdogan earlier this week. And it's a controversial cartoon. He's sitting in his underpants with a cup of coffee, and he's lifting the robe of a Muslim woman, and you can see her bare behind. And the caption is, Erdogan is funny in private. So Erdogan, who was already very angry, you know, with Macron for saying it's okay to blaspheme the prophet, and then suddenly someone gets beheaded. He's now threatening legal consequences and diplomatic consequences against France for this cartoon from Charlie Hebdo. You know, because the thing is that the Europeans who blame it all on the globalists, the general public who would blame it, or the media who would blame everything on the Muslims and Islam, it's counterproductive and it's facile. Of course, it's acceptable by the system because the system has been doing that, you know, since long before 9/11, but it's increased since 9/11 to really have Islam as the new bogeyman course, Hitler will always be there. But
yeah, they never mention who. It's just irritating. They really have developed a very profound facility for manipulating herds of white idiots.
Yeah.
Where basically, it's very hard not to become critical of whites just generally when you see how easily they're cowed and buffaloed and they're herded into this stupidity that a moment's thought would dispel. The Muslims don't own any mass media in the West. No, maybe one channel or something, but it's all Jews. And all these victims of this stuff are never, ever mentioned anywhere. But they're super easy to inflame the average whites against these Muslims who wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Jews.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be in these countries.
Yeah. Today even, you know, I see, it's these anti-free speech laws in France that are, you know, to blame for. Well, no, you know, you'll find Charlie Hebdo. We've seen it with Charlie Hebdo, but yet to. As Khomeini said, you know, you get Vincent Renouard was put in prison for a year for a book published about Aurore de Sorglan and questioning the Holocaust and various videos on YouTube. The free speech issue is delicate. It's a dilemma because if you are deliberately provoking Muslim Christian cartoons of their prophet, you are attacking their faith. You know, it's not that just rail against this, you know, blood and soil. They don't realize that blood and soil is not enough. You do need faith and spirit as well. You're never going to get anywhere. That liberalism has destroyed the West. We have no similar structure. Islam structures society. It brings order to society. Yes, it's repressive. Yes, it's tyrannical. Yes, but Islam survived because it didn't embrace the Enlightenment, you know, and it survived because it has the people. They have their faith in God, in a creator. They have that faith. But they have that, and that is what makes them strong. And these Chechens, you know, who were grew up in these very repressive regimes, ex-Soviet regimes, tyrannical revolutionaries. People must understand that, you know, their beliefs. If you're going to go after their beliefs, you know, on the one hand, you've got these white nationalists. Oh, it's the Muslims. The Muslims are always the same. But these same people they often will come back, oh, yeah, but the neo-Nazis making fun about burned babies. It's morally reprehensible. It's, you know, it's different. You're attacking a group's faith, whereas the burned baby jokes are exceedingly tasteless, yes.
We see
attacking atrocity propaganda. It's not
The white nationalists in the U.S. are going after the Jews. It's the conservatives who are going after the Muslims. The white nationalists, yeah, of course, they're anti-Muslim and it's secondary. But look at what Hitler did. He was no Christian, and he, in 12 years, created an incredible loyalty that was able to take on the entire world.
Yeah,
so that's
indeed,
just sitting there. You don't need any Christian faith. I don't think you need any faith whatsoever.
Well,
look at all the people who are.
God to mit uns, you know, they did have that, and they did have the belief in their.
That's more of a leg from their.
I think so. Yes, I think you're
historical.
Right.
It wasn't that they actually believed. Hitler was not a Christian believer in any sense.
I accept that, and I absolutely accept that Christianity.
I guarantee you, Christianity is the problem in the USA.
Well, it certainly is.
It's why we succumb to the Jews, essentially, because you're making the Jewish national lie the center of your, if you want to call it, spiritual life. Doesn't work.
A great article.
That's why the people who fight are so few of them are actually Christians. The ones who are on our side are mostly German, and they're mostly, I don't know if they're atheist or not. Maybe some of them are. Pagan. I don't call myself pagan.
Oh, me neither.
Me neither.
Just one last thing.
I just think we shouldn't be dominated by Jews. You're absolutely right that they do believe that, and it's proved their beliefs and their behavior line up, and so does the Jews. But ours, speaking for whites generally, does not.
If I may add something, Alison, here in South Africa. The non-whites who tried the most to fight against crime were Muslims. The Muslims, at a point, created an organization called Pagad, People Against Gangsters and Drugs. And when there were big time criminals in the townships and stuff, the Muslims went and took them to task. They fought against big time crime. And eventually the black government went and knocked out the Muslims. But the Muslims were the non-whites who stood up the most against criminal activity, and they were smashed. But I totally agree with you that the Muslims have got a requirement for law and order. And I want to add something else to both of you, is that when I look at these non-white races, including the blacks, and I look at the globalism and the attempts to turn all of these non-whites into globalists, if you look closely, even among the blacks, that in reality, the blacks and the Muslims and the Arabs and all that, they actually turned against globalism. They actually turned into racialists. Deep down among the non-whites, nationalism and racialism and tribalism is a big feature. It's a big feature in Africa. And the only people on the planet, who are not allowed to be nationalist, racialist, or tribal are whites. Only whites. But if you go and you see the townships, if you go and see the blacks, do you know that there are blacks in South Africa who won't even marry blacks in another tribe? They only marry the blacks in their tribe. And we've got like 11 different languages. We've got like about 9 different tribes or so here in South Africa. That's how they behave. White people are not even allowed to do a fraction of that.
Well, at some point, someone, you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here as well.
But
okay, I thought it went
just
out.
To
All
give,
right.
Just to give
at
you
some point,
some
someone's
going to
restore order and.
And I do agree. Yeah. I do agree with both of you that in a society you do need law and order, and you do need to have people working together. And Alex, you know what I was reading recently? I was reading stuff about the Hitler Youth, but I was reading about the Hitler Youth being deployed into battle and the Hitler Youth fighting in 1944 and 1945. And it astounded me. I couldn't believe what I was reading, that young white boys as young as 12 years old were knocking out Soviet tanks and winning the Iron Cross. And I was thinking about it, you know, just like you were saying, that Hitler managed to bring all his people together. And I was sitting and thinking to myself that that shows you what is possible when you've got control of your own children. When you've got control of the minds of your own children, you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with loyalty, etc. They'll go to unbelievable lengths. There were even German girls who did very wild and dangerous things and got themselves killed. It was beyond belief what they pulled off.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Jews are trying to keep whites. Believe me, I believe that there are whites. This is why I keep harping on a white liberation army. If you get the people with military experience to organize people, whites hate this stuff that's going on in the USA. They are utterly willing to kill, and I mean kill, large numbers of people to set things right. I feel that way, and I don't believe I'm abnormal in that way at all. I feel the way most people feel when they see this garbage endlessly coming. Now, they've been lied to for decades, and they've soaked in all this garbage ideology. I believe that it could be cleared up very quickly, but that's what the Jews are doing, is trying to prevent that from develop it. All you get are these frustrated one-off type people like Ernest, you know, but if you can corral and organize that force, I mean, you can clear up this stuff very quickly. It really is more of a technical problem, I believe. I don't believe whites have ever been suicidal. I don't believe it's even possible for any animal that exists to be suicidal. It's utter murder is what it is.
I totally agree with you, Alex. Totally agree. And Alex, just about Trump and a few other things that I just want to ask quickly. It was interesting about Trump's crowds, and I watched with great interest. I actually saw a video where Kamala Harris, where people said, if you look closely at her rally, there's probably no more than six people there. And it, genuinely, I looked at it and the camera panning in and out, and really, I don't think there were more than six people there. And the other thing, Alex, is just some comments. The violence in Portland, I believe it's been going on for a long time. What the hell is there, and why is it so bad there? I was in Portland in 2010, and to me it was one of the most beautiful cities I'd ever been in, but I know that it was very liberal. And so what the heck's going on there?
It's just white leftist up in the Northwest. I went to school with a lot of that type of people. They're basically, they're felons and they're public school teachers. They're hyped up on that stupid leftist ideology. They don't have a whole hell of a lot of minorities around for you to speak in their name, but they have gotten pretty seriously organized and a pretty serious, you know, you can't do something over and over and over for 200 days without starting to become competent at it. We always laugh at them. Oh, these scrawny, stupid, terrible fighters always lose to rightists. Well, they're getting pretty good at their tactics. They got a huge amounts of funding and supply of armaments and what have you. They are laying the basis for an eventual communist revolution. It is a serious thing.
Now, what
and
are the
powers that be down there? The mayor has tried to, the mayor and the woman running, who has worn like a dress or a skirt with various, with Ho Chi Minh and Mao and other people on it, on her dress. She's the one trying to replace Ted Wheeler, who they all agree with these Antifa communists. So there's, you know, they're driving people out of the state, essentially, is what they're doing. But yeah, there's a lot of that garbage leftist mentality on the left, on the West Coast of the USA, no doubt about it. And you know, as long as it's not suppressed, they're going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. They arrest these people, and the prosecutor there was just letting them out back out immediately. So Trump keeps saying, hey, let me send in some feds to help you quell this insurrection. I guess he refused to enlist or cite and use the Insurrection Act formally, but he kept offering. And then the mayors love to write these virtue signaling letters about, you're the problem, we don't need any of your help, just shut up, and if we just keep appeasing these people, this stuff will simmer down, is what all these mayors have been doing. But finally the feds have been deputizing people so that they can fight with the feds and getting some actual charges against the ringleaders at least. But loads of these people, the one to look for on this is Andy NGO. He's an Asian, I guess, queer guy. He reports on this. He's been beaten up for it. And he will post, because it's public law that you have to show the arrest records. He will use the faces and the verifiable facts that are listed on the forms when these people are arrested. And then they're immediately let back to do the same thing the next night. And this has been going on for months and months and months. It's utterly absurd. Where white nationalists, if they even try to defend themselves, you know, are dragged into multi-year legal proceedings and will be lucky if they don't end up in jail for 2 or 3 years. But these people are allowed to attack the cops with lasers, to set them on fire, to try to barricade them in their buildings and burn them, to smash endless numbers of shops, and nothing happens to them.
Are most of these people white?
Yeah, most of them are white. I mean, there's plenty of non-whites. There's mixed meats. There's loads of Hispanics out and Asians on the coast. But like I said, they're overt criminals, but they're also like their main number one job, the ones that have legitimate jobs, is public school teacher. And this is why I have harped repeatedly on the public school system is just an absolute terror of an institution. It is the basis of the Democratic Party in terms of organizing. You have something in every single district of the country. They're all promoting this ideology. And of course, we all know where that ideology comes from. It comes from Jews who control the textbooks, book publishers, and the Department of Education. They filter out this, and the teachers' colleges, and that filters down to the state colleges. Then it filters into the K-12 system. And then these are the people who are basically dumb enough to believe the stuff they read in the news and that they hear in school. And they are the ones who are the adherents of this stupid communist ideology, and they're willing to be quite violent about it. And the system doesn't punish them because they are the system.
Yeah.
And we on the outside are reduced to, we can't say anything in the media because they don't let you get a word in edgewise. If you build an alternative platform that's better than theirs, or you dare laugh at them, well, then you get deplatformed. And then pretty soon you're in the courts. I mean, it's absurd. They're not allowing anybody to disagree with them. over an increase, like I said, the land of no second opinion. And it's just exactly like that crab fishing stuff where the ice is spreading out over the sea increasingly wide, and they're just icing it, the icing over a new dark age. You're not allowed to disagree with the official state ideology. That's what we're headed for. And we're already largely there. De facto, we're already largely there, even in the USA with the First Amendment.
Yeah, see, and the Second Amendment. I saw a report the other day that certain libraries now, you can't go and get the actual physical book. You have to download a digital copy.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the thing. Look who runs the libraries, right? The people who run the library, the same leftist type of state employee, they all buy from the big Jew publishers in New York. They're not going to buy anything that's unapproved. What they're going to do is they're going to instead go through their racks and stamp withdrawn on the good old solid white text written by evil white men, and they're going to replace them with garbage leftists from the New York City publishing house. Houses on the approved buy list. That's how that works. It's the same. It's just another variant of academia or a side chain on the academic to use blockchain technology. It's all related. The publishing and the buying and the academy and the public schools is all part of the same complex. So yeah, you want to self-publish outside that, and then Amazon won't even let you list your books on their site, you know, so.
Yeah, so much for equality. The other news from the UK is, you know, in amongst all these terrorist attacks and the rattling of sabers between the French and certain Arab countries, but not all. A Frenchman was stabbed in Saudi Arabia earlier today, not beheaded, and not quite as good as the ones in France. He was only stabbed, but the leaders of Saudi, they're not condemning Macron. They're not boycotting Macron. Of course not, because they're in bed together over Libya and Syria and with Bernard-Henri Lévy and all that. But in the UK today, it was the publication of a long-awaited report by another horrible Zog manifestation from Westminster's the Equalities and Human Rights Commission. I'm sure you can guess quite easily who was behind the promulgation of such an institution. Although I think it was Tony Blair, that it was under Tony Blair's government that this institution came into being. One of these watchdog bodies. So it was a report on anti-Semitism in the Labour Party under Jeremy Corbyn, who you will remember was the former leader of Labour until the last general election when Labour, it was just, I mean, he lost the election for Labour by having an election. He should have just gone on with a hung parliament, and the public had had enough, you know, Brexit, get it done, as if Brexit matters anymore. But today, Jeremy Corbyn has been suspended from the Labour Party by his own leader, the new leader, Sir Keir Starmer, former director of public prosecutions under Tony Blair or Brown. But yeah, Corbyn made a remark when this report was published and said quite rightly that the numbers of reports of anti-Semitism have been exaggerated. Apparently, most of these reports, a great majority, came from one person.
Wow. And
I know another two of these people who were serial complainants actually joined the Labour Party in order to be able to activate the report process for anti-Semitism. And, oh, Jews are going to be murdered because some Labour member made an angry phone call to some other Jewish Labour MP. And you remember the Luciana Berger case with people going to jail because they sent her memes with the Star of David and embossed on her head or as a rat or something with the Daily Stormer. You remember that? Quite a few people went to prison already for harassment of these UK Jewish Labour MPs. But no, today Corbyn has been suspended, and it's quite problematic. I mean, it was very quick. You know, he was suspended within half an hour of him making these comments, refusing, being asked to retract by Labour, him refusing and him immediately being suspended from the Labour Party. But the Labour Party refused now to give a reason, because you know the legislation, the internal legislation, there has to be a reason bringing the party into disrepute or whatever. for them to be able to suspend. So they're just not saying on what grounds Jeremy Corbyn has been suspended. So that looks as if it's going to be problematic. It's going to reawaken the massive wars within the Labour Party, and pretty much it will be the end of the Labour Party. I shed no tears for Jeremy Corbyn. He was very good all his political career, you know, anti-war and anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian. But when it came to the crunch, he just grovelled and apologised and said, oh yes, we're going to do better and we will get rid of these anti-Semites. But you see, in the end, his grovelling today, but he's got massive support, far more support than Starmer, if you look at social media. So I think Labour is really well and truly dead now. Hopefully a new party will arise. We will see.
All they ever did was criticize Israel a little, really.
Yeah.
That's what they didn't like.
Oh, yeah.
So that just shows they're completely controlled the way the Republicans and Democrats are in the USA. It's just completely run by Jew money and fear of Jews, by the people who aren't Jews. It's utterly absurd. And there is nothing that represents actual white people, whether they're English or Americans. Yeah. Desperately try... I always say it's like a body without a head, desperately trying to get ahead. That's what the vote for Trump is. They're trying to get someone who actually represents what they actually want, and they just can't do it because it's trying to get through this layer, I don't know what the best analogy is, but it just can't get the head on its body because the Jew machine keeps chopping it off.
That is brilliant. That is the best explanation.
Well, I mean,
Alex,
that I'm not kidding.
It's dead on.
That's what we are saying represents that head. Jews say, I've seen a quote, I don't know if it was from Protocols or what, but they said basically we destroyed the aristocracy of Europe, and then they replaced themselves with their money and their media as the new head of the people and the guide and the director. The natural protection of our people is our smartest people. And the Jews' attitude towards that is the Katyn Forest. Let's round up all their top leaders, their intellectuals, their generals, their intelligent people, and let's murder them. And then they have no defense against us and what we're up to. We are a predatory race of criminals. Murderers, liars, a clan of criminals, and one Jew is the same as another, and it's wrong to take them in any other way. And when you get, you know, sure, there are differences between them, but politically they don't matter. They're all on the same side. That's the whole point of Team White versus Team Jew. It's a necessary reduction to essentials. These are the actual forces doing battle. Even if our side is only a theory, their side is real and struggling against us and our people right now. But now, Allison, how about your own personal battle with the powers that be, the powers that be in you?
Well, I should have been in court on Monday for an adjourned case, a new case, one of the two new cases against me. There have been three in total this year. This one began at a court hearing. That's already happened when I've been arrested outside court. But this was on January the 10th. I was arrested outside court after an adjourned hearing for an appeal, which concerned my prison sentence last year for a breach of my original sentence. They did send me to prison for 3 days, you might remember, and I was released on bail pending the appeal. The appeal was in January. That was also adjourned because we were at that time still waiting for disclosure from the probation service, the Crown Prosecution Service, Guard Justice, and the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism and Police to show that there is political meddling in my case. Anyway, that was adjourned. I was arrested on new charges for two radio interviews that I gave in 2019, I think, one in May and one in July, one on the Graham Hart Show. The first was on the John Friend Reality Report, I think it's called. These radio shows were at some point posted on Gab, and that's what they're charging me with. They finally charged me after 6 months of bail, messing me around, bailing me, you're not allowed to post anything online, etc. After 6 months, the event charged me on July the 31st. And I have made an application. The court was supposed to be in Derby. It's now been transferred to my old haunt at Westminster Magistrates Court. And I have made an application because, in fact, for these summary communications offences, the same as previously when I was convicted of sending grossly offensive messages, it's... They have 6 months. From the day the prosecutor becomes aware of the allegations, they have 6 months to bring charges. See, so the dates were a year last May and a year last July. I was arrested in January, and it took them 6 months and 2 weeks to charge me from that day. It doesn't seem likely that the prosecution will be able to... charges in front of the court. The court will have to decide. But this hearing was supposed to be, this application was supposed to be on Monday, and it was adjourned at the last minute because the Crown now say they're going to contest this application. And so it's been adjourned to November the 17th. And I've also got another ongoing trial, allegations. I'm under investigation for harassment, same as you, Jan. Harassment against a Jewish woman. In fact, the same woman who already had me thrown off a cruise ship in 2014, a Jewish woman who lives in London. Yes, she had me thrown off a cruise ship in 2014 for one tweet about Israel. And at that time, The police in my part of Britain, they worded a cease and desist letter, which she received and signed for. Right. So she's continually tweeted about me. For example, earlier this year, she sat on a live stream and talked about me for 20 minutes, total nonsense. She admitted that she was the one that got me sacked from the cruise ship, and said that, yes, I sang songs, but then that I'd attacked all kinds of people, that I'd attacked Sikhs and Hindus and all kinds of nonsense. And at that point, because this lady is a friend of Tommy Robinson, a supporter of Tommy Robinson, and his supporters came to all my court hearings with Israeli flags saying, you know, jail the Nazi.
Oh, wow. That is nasty. Oh, that's horrific. They came. Crazy.
My way of responding is musically and to mock, as I did previously. So I wrote a song mocking Tommy Robinson. I take the role of Tommy Robinson, and I sang to the famous tune from Oliver the Musical by Lionel Bart, Got to Pick a Pocket or Two. And there is a verse about this lady. I'm not at all criticizing, you know, or talking about her Jewishness. I'm just talking about the fact that she's slightly overweight. And for that, listen to this. On May, exactly 6 years after this woman had signed...
It's male anti-Semitism.
This woman had signed a cease and desist letter that had been worded by the police, who then told me, oh, it's libel case, civil case, we can't do anything. Can't do anything else. It's a civil case, Mrs. Shablow. You'll have to get a lawyer and sue her. We can't do anything. After that letter is sent to this woman, she signed for it. One morning, the 22nd of May this year, 8 police came to my door, forced their way in, in uniform, two special branch, not in uniform, a crime squad, hate crime squad, whatever they're called, CID. They took all my computers, they took all my phones, they took computers and phones and other devices, tablets that don't even belong to me because I'm in a shared house. They took everything that they could find. Wow. They took paperwork, you know, paperwork, but they didn't take interesting stuff. They took song sheets, you know, that I've had for you, take on cruise ships, song sheets or lyrics of mine that I'm particularly proud of, and they're just, you know, wedged on my little notice board that are in French. Oh, you've got to take a photo of those lyrics. It says something about the 6 million in French. So they went all around my house taking photos of everything, the bookshelves, you know, if there was a revisionist book lying on the table, they had to take a photo of that. Oh, look, there's a photo about Auschwitz. So I got that as well. For this one humorous song, which mocks Tommy Robinson. So that they need a course of action when it comes to harassment. And again, you see that the song was not published by me, and it certainly was not sent to this woman. She just found it, tweeted it. It got, quite a number of views, 2,000 views. She obviously wanted to see the song. And but I'm the one, you know, without my computers and looking, you know, possible charges for her. But I don't care, you know, let's go for it. Charge me and let's go for it. And let's have this woman in the witness stand. And the same with this other trial that's been adjourned. The Crown may decide that it's no longer in the public interest, because my big win this year was this appeal that was on the 10th of January. I eventually won that appeal. Nice. In July.
Nice.
The case was dismissed in the interests of justice. However, the excuse given that it was no longer in the public interest and out of time and blah, blah, and it'd been going on for so long, that was just a fig leaf. In fact, they never disclosed these documents that had been requested. So now, see, every new trial that comes, then I will just use this, saying, well, I may get found guilty in the first instance at the magistrates' court, but then at the Crown Court for an appeal, I will be able to ask for full disclosure and disclosure of the previous cases, because we know the Campaign Against Antisemitism admit on their website that they are responsible for having me prosecuted, for pressuring politicians and police and prosecutors to have me prosecuted. Wow. And this is a charity. So that's the line that's been drawn. You see, if you're sending, as Jan said earlier when we were chatting, if you're sending directly abusive and threatening messages to Jews or to anybody, then but none of my stuff is that. It's just me promoting my music.
They're passively going out, is what you're saying. The principle here is that anything they don't like on the internet equals harassment and is illegal, and you should have all your stuff seized.
Yeah. Yeah, and gagged.
I mean, think about that, gagged,
and your human rights removed. You no longer have the right to publish online, to be a voice on the public square, yes, in the public space. You know, they take that right away from us. They must try and contain us. What did Henri Lévy said in Vienna? We must contain them, name them, shame them, contain them. So that's what they're doing. They're banning us from travel. They're banning us from traveling.
Yeah, they're making it impossible to keep your life and your livelihood. And what they'd ultimately like to do when they complete their revolution is just say, anyone who's an anti-Semite will crime, you're going to be shot. And that's what they did in the Soviet Union.
Absolutely.
And that's where all this stuff tends.
Absolutely. Alison,
it creates a huge swathe of resentment. It creates a huge swathe of resentment against Jews. Therefore, they are the ones that are, in fact, responsible for the rise in anti-Semitism. Of course it's going to happen. So they must want it that way. The destruction.
Well, there's still no word for their hatred of white people, is there?
Except your
word. No one that's commonly used. Yeah, and it's not used because, you know, God forbid you use your brain to perceive what's actually happening instead of what is claimed to be happening in the media. I was just imagining, as Allison was speaking, like, imagine her on Tucker Carlson, who's one right-winger who allows a little bit of the truth to sometimes seep into Fox News. Just imagine her talking about that and all those people hearing, but it would never happen because Jews are always portrayed as the victims.
They have to do that.
Yes.
Anyone who criticizes them is evil.
Alex, I suspect that the World War II stuff has changed things for them to such a degree, and that they've been able to gain sympathy from their Holocaust that they didn't have in prior ages. And that is why they can't let go of World War II. I mean, World War II ended 75 years ago, and still they just carry on and on. Oh, these people are Nazis. This one's a Nazi. And, you know, the war is over and the Nazis are dead. But they can't let go of it because they need that sympathy. I must actually tell you something.
They just made up some lies and they're beating whites with it.
I must tell you something. There's a book written about the rise of anti-Semitism in South Africa, written by a Jew, by the way.
And in this book, it is very interesting. It's the early days of anti-Semitism in South Africa. And there are some interesting cartoons that this Jew published in the book. And one of the these cartoons, I want to put them up on my website. You'll have a good laugh at them. And it shows the power of the Jews and what people were saying about Jews in South Africa almost 120 years ago, Alex. And it's got, like, one of the cartoons is entitled, you see all these Jews coming on the ships, and it's entitled The Coming of the Scum, or The Whitening of South Africa. And then another one is showing...
Well, it's a scam concept. Anti-Semitism is not a serious concept. I mean, they have to answer for their behavior just like everybody else does. And anti-Semitism is their scam rhetorical concept to escape that and claim that there's some bizarre character deficiency in everybody else through the world and all history.
It's a natural
defense. In response
to
them, it's utterly absurd.
It's a natural defense.
Sure, it works because our kind is so freaking stupid. Our Germanic people, which is what we are, is basically too gullible, apparently, to survive, at least so far. Or that's the end we're reckoning on if we don't get a little bit smarter than we've shown so far. But Hitler did show the way back to the way to combat them. That's why you just read his stuff and you'll see that that's how you have to deal with Jews. That's how you have to think about them and look at them. And people have been trained. They've been scared away from that. But the Anglo-conservatism doesn't do anything. It serves them.
Yeah. You know, Alex, I think that the Anglo side of our race, I've been sitting and thinking a lot about what is it about?
They're scared of being disrespectful. We have to be respectful. We have to appeal to people. We have to be nice, and we have to be good girls, basically, and do what authority says, and worship the government, and serve them, and never disagree. And that's, you know, at some point you have to just be low key and serious and look at the facts in the matter, and then go from there. And you can't let this outside stuff influence you overly if you're gonna actually figure out what's going on first and then try to change it. And that's what Hitler did. And they were attacked immediately. They were physically attacked immediately when they began telling the truth about this to crowds of Germans. Physically attacked. They had to overcome. We've never overcome that in the includes USA. British colonies have never overcome. Okay, they physically attack us. We go away and hide and lose. That's all we've ever done. Mm-hmm. And so you tell me how you overcome that other than developing some kind of physical counterforce.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it's not going to happen with everybody sat on the.
Well, I mean, we're barely, as Allison has outlined, you're not even allowed to make one satirical line in a song that some Jew you've never even heard of complains about it. And all of a sudden you get all your papers stolen. I mean, come on, that's a totalitarian state. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's how it is. So they're not even going to allow any platform to compete with them. They're going to destroy all competing platforms. And the ultimate platform to destroy is the white genes that produce Hitlers, because they do see every white as a budding potential Hitler, because we like law and order and they are scummy squabblers who like a giant, the way rats like, you know, open refuse in the streets after a garbage strike. They love that. That's the environment they want to live in, a bunch of mystery meat that they can run around in between. So we have to physically fight back. That's got to be organized. It's a professional matter. You need army people to do that.
I know what they did to Reason. You mentioned him earlier, Hervé Reason.
Yes. I was going to ask you to update us on all of the various people being thrown in jail and fined tremendous amounts of money in Europe, since that's your continent.
So the interesting thing with France is that there's these double standards that are obvious. You know, you've got on one side you have Dieudonné, Alain Soral, Hervé Reason, Vincent Renoir, others, Benedetti, nationalist leader. Really are guys. Even though Dieudonné is half white, you know, obviously he's half black, but he is constantly convicted usually for lines from spoken character in one of his sketches during a theatre performance in a theatre where people have paid for their seats. Some Jew will pay record the whole thing and then go back and show the lawyers, and they will take out lines that they feel will have, you know, result in a conviction. So the most recent ones, there's one in Geneva going on. He said there's a sketch, and it's about an airplane that's about to crash. And there's all sorts of context, but right at the end, this character who's a French Canadian says, in a big French Canadian accent, says, "Oh, we're all going to die. The gas chambers never existed." He's on trial. He's on trial for that line.
Wow.
For that line, spoken by a character in a comedy sketch. And Whoa. The funny thing is, you know, that he's got a co-author, Dieudonné, who's been in prison for 20 odd years. And the co-author is, his mother was Jewish, is Cohen. I mean, he is totally against these organizations because they've gone after him as well. He's also the lyricists of the songs that Dieudonné has been convicted for, Show Ananas, and another one he talks about, a barbecue. Really hilarious, funny stuff, but he's been done for that. So you've got Dieudonné being convicted regularly for lines from his shows. You have Alain Soral, the publisher, who is convicted for cartoons published on his website, cartoons that mock, for example, the atrocity porn. There's a famous one he's been done. It's a stripper outside Auschwitz, you know, daintily holding her bra, and she's got big stars of David on her breasts, and it's, you know, memorial pornography. He's been done for that. He's been done for countless cartoons that have been published on his website, Égalité et Réconciliation. They've both been convicted for quenelles. Now, recent is a particularly interesting case. He's written 10 or 12 books about Judaism, about anti-Semitism, and all his books, they cannot attack his books because they are all source referenced. They attacked him for social media posts relating to his books, and he has been convicted on an accumulation of different charges, I think to 14 months in prison. He's about to stand a new trial, so that might well be I think he'll serve 9 months initially, but it might be extended if he loses this trial. Whereas in France, you have these media darlings. One particular is called Eric Zemmour, Algerian Jew. And of course, he's a darling of the media. He's always on TV. He's written several books. He's a kind of like a Jewish Sivnat, very Islamophobic, but a darling of the media. And of course, no censorship and no conviction. But he has recently been convicted for something he said on a TV show about migrants. I'm not exactly sure what he said, but he got a 10,000 euro fine, which is nothing. It's a slap on the wrist. He'll just be back on the next day on the, he's already been invited back on the TV to explain this, you know, and explain what he meant with this comment and paying the fine and what it means for free speech. When this happened, when Zemmour was found guilty and fined, Reason supported his right to criticize migration, and but we've not heard the same from Eric Zemmour regarding have you recently been put in prison. We have, however, heard the support from Jean-Marie Le Pen and Bruno Gollnisch, who are both Rally National. But Marine Le Pen, you know, she kicked her own father out of the party, didn't she? She's approved Reason being put in prison, basically. That's what she's done by retweeting her Jewish boyfriend's say, you know, oh, hate speech has its consequences.
Oh, really? Yeah. Le Pen has got a Jewish boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
quite high up in the party.
They're like Robinson. Wouldn't you say that they're equivalent pretty much to Tommy Robinson? Maybe they were a little better at one point, or at least the father was, but now the kids are.
Yeah.
Or it's the same old, you know, fake right opposition, rebel media, Lawrence Southern type stuff. But I wanted to ask you, wasn't Rissen, Hervé Rissen, I can't say it well like you do, speaking French, but was there something about he republished some old book and they fined him like better part of $200,000 or something?
I'm not sure about that. He's quite a lot of his works are based around actual Jewish literature, books written by Jews. He talks about Jews in the words of Jews.
Huh. Okay.
So it might be something to do with that.
I could have sworn that he reprinted some old book that I thought, I didn't think it was by Jews, or maybe it was. It was critical of Jews, but it was really old. He republished it. I didn't think it was his own, but I don't have the facts on that exactly. But they fined him some ridiculous amount of money. Six figures.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's R-Y-S-S-E-N if you want to look that up.
Yes.
Talking to the audience, of course. But yeah, so basically free speech in France. All you ever hear about here is, oh, you have the right to make caricatures. That's the U.S. neocon fake right really harps on. Oh, you should be able to caricatures of, well, of course, if you, or you can make a piss Christ.
Yeah.
It was a famous NEA funded sculpture.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it, a work of art back in the 80s, that was a big to-do. But I never seen anybody mocking Moses or David or any other Jew anywhere.
Or
good points.
Demanding that we see the historical evidence of the Old Testament, whereas there's plenty around demanding evidence of the New. lawfare. So, yeah, that's France.
How about Germany?
Germany, it's good news. I think Horst Mahler was released on Monday.
Yay.
And Ursula Hanberg and Sylvia Stoltz will also be released. There are other ongoing trials at the moment. Quite strangely, there was two trials with two ladies, a German lady, Marianne Wilfert, and the English lady, Michelle Renouf, but they have both been adjourned. And in Canada, Arthur Topham has been found guilty of a breach, but I've been looking for news for his sentencing. I've not found anything yet. So it's all this heavy lawfare stuff. You know, they're going after you with lawfare. And once you've been, like me, once you've been convicted, it makes them easier for them to keep going after you, which is what they're doing in France with Diodonné and Sorel, although they've not yet dared to put either of them behind bars. It would be interesting to see the development in the recent case, especially his next trial. He's now represented by Damien Viguier, who was Professor Forreston's lawyer for many years and is now also Alain Sorel's lawyer.
Oh, that's excellent. They didn't.
And I know from Paul Fromm circulated that Brad Love, who's kind of a political activist there in Canada, was also fined for basically putting out a bunch of flyers.
I don't know about him. Yeah, I'm sure there's.
I also saw that,
yeah. There must be tens more people that are, you know, undergoing stuff like this, but it's just not reported.
How many people do you think
Know anything. And the only reason I know anything about Canada, Fromm's the only one who reports on stuff from Canada that I know about.
Yeah.
They're pretty much all on the same page over there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Who is the German woman you mentioned? Wilfert? I'm not familiar with that.
W-I-L-F-E-R-T. Marianne. And she was already convicted under this famous paragraph 130 for hate speech.
What did she do?
Does she have any relation to the others other than being sued under the same law, or is she part of that their crowd,
yes,
or
she's
just an independent?
No, she's part of the German nationalist scene, and she's reasonably well known. Der Volkslehrer Nikolai, he's been working on her cases. She was given a suspended sentence earlier this year and some kind of ban from the internet, and I think this latest case is for harassment of a socialist local councillor or something. She's now, you see, they're going after her again for something else. So I'm not exactly sure. It would take me a couple of hours to sit down and look at the report, because my German is not as good as my French. But this lady is also, she's a retired lady.
Okay. Is she Eastern German or Western, do you think?
I'm not sure.
So what exactly did she do? Did she write something? Did she?
She gave a few speeches at these nationalist meetings. I think that was for her conviction. She gave a speech and might have mentioned, you know, put expressed some doubt about the official Holocaust narrative. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
But it was something along those lines. And so
Renouf was wound up for an impromptu short speech in which she referred to Germans as victims of Dresden firebombing and somehow.
Yeah.
Do you know more about that?
Yeah, she said.
I've seen nothing reported on this stuff.
She said that the only Holocaust was against the Germans in Dresden and the Japanese in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. She said something like that. But she's been saying those kinds of things for many years. She keeps to her script. She's said these kinds of things for many years, including on German television. Now, her case was the same day as Arthur Topham's in Canada on the 16th of October. But there has been the case, according to Paul Fromm, the case has suddenly been adjourned and a gagging order has been placed upon all participants. So no, even the press has been gagged. So there's something a bit odd there, I would suggest, you know.
What do you think's going on, or do you have any idea?
Well, I don't know. There must have been some deal done. You know, there must have been some deal done with the prosecution, but the court, you know, the press doesn't have the right to report because, you know, Mrs. Renouf, does she or does she not want publicity? I don't know. She owns this house in Germany. I know that she has children, you know, her children here have quite high prominent jobs. So do they want, you know, to be implicated in this case? I am suspicious of this trial. You know, she's never even set foot in court. So Monica Schaefer, you know, Monica Schaefer went to a party at Mrs. Renouf's German house, whenever it was. And then went to a court hearing and was arrested and held on remand for 10 months before she went to trial. You know, and this charge of Renouf is from February 2018. It's 2.5 years. Okay, there's been adjournments for COVID. And it might be for COVID. And it might be because the lawyer is ill. But the strange thing is that there's been no reports. So all the participants are gagged. The German press is gagged. In my opinion, now people are just going to forget about it. And will there be any consequences? I don't think so. I would also suggest that the line that Mrs. Renouf has into Germany via her personal assistant, a man named Peter Rushton, who has been who is to be a long-time Searchlight and Hope Not Hate mole, an infiltrator into the far right, and that. Way in to Germany, into the German nationalist scene, is a big advantage for MI6 via these Jewish NGOs in the UK, Searchlight, an NGO via this man Rushton. It's been published online that this man is a long time with an intelligence report.
Oh, really?
Published about him by one of his handlers. Yes.
Wow.
So, and he's not denied anything. So well. Yes, I think that will be.
MI6 is a big player. They don't muck around. And your theory is very interesting, Alison. I was recently reading a book about the history of the NSA and the extent of spying, even back in the 1960s, is beyond belief. The NSA was literally spying on the entire world. They were spying everywhere, using ships, aircraft, you name it. So nowadays, imagine how bad it is. You can't. Well,
they were ahead on all that. Their biometrics. I remember that was a big buzzword back in the early 90s because I had a girlfriend who worked, did some editorial work for, I think, some guy. I don't know if he was part of them or he consulted for them, but they were huge in all those kind of tracking things that are really coming of age now. Where they can spy on you in every possible way. Mm-hmm. Back when I was in D.C. in the early 90s.
Very. Yeah, they can suck up everybody's data with a drone over these. They could just suck it all up of any given region, and then just move on to the next square and do the same.
All the Anglophone is subsumed under their electronic umbrella, and then they just do keyword searches. I guess. I mean, I don't know.
that's like, right. Everything is monitored.
Yeah, see, like I said,
I
found out, okay, I was notified actually by Microsoft that, we had two court orders to turn over your data related to Skype and what was the other one? Proton Mail, which is encrypted, back in May 2019. And I was notified a couple weeks ago. So, you know, there you go. They can not only demand your data, they can, they don't have to notify you and can prevent these people from disclosing that for a year and a half. I don't know what they're looking for, but that's why I filed a free FBI. And you can do this not just for the federal government. You can go pretty much online and file an FOIA request. They have to send you stuff. I don't have this stuff yet, but when I do, I may or may not talk about it. But just an example that they are keeping very close tabs on people.
Oh, indeed.
I use the phone very little, so I don't use email a hell of a lot either, really.
Alex, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, Alex, if the internet itself was developed originally as a spying tool, because these things come from the military. They come from DARPA. And they say
it's a communication, but communication and spying are largely the same thing, or you have the capability of the other if you have the one. You
know? Absolutely.
So, yes, that's true. It was a DARPA project back in 1969. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency developed the internet, the packet interchange, I guess, and then Tim Berners-Lee and them turned it into something commercially viable for the whole world. And it really took off about 1995, I would say.
But Allison, your theory about infiltrating the Germans, the German nationalist movement, I would think that the Germans still scare everybody, and that I've followed a bunch of articles where German military are being hammered, they're going after military people, etc. And there was also that story where 200 German soldiers were plotting to kill Merkel, and they were then all caught. And it would not surprise me, but it shows you that inside Germany, and this ties up with some of my private discussions with Alfred Schaefer, that inside the Jewish colony, the Jewish American colony known as Germany, that there are lots of Germans who are still very much alive, and they really don't like that system that's been shoved down their throat.
Jan, it's Ordnung. I know that because I feel that. I don't go much for blood-based explanations, but I feel very strong sense of Ordnung, as they would call it, organization. I do not like chaos and disorder. I don't want to infringe on people's ability to do 95% when they're out there, you know, rioting and killing people and destroying their businesses. My urge is to physically destroy that. And I believe that is how most whites feel. And that's what Jews in the Frankfurt School found, that we are all basically law and order types. That is our blood-based nature.
Yes.
That is what will happen if we are left to our own devices. And so we get angrier, and we're not like Irish type people who are expressive and actors, and how the German type is much more on one side or on the other side, and it builds, and then it snaps. And I guess I could say I believe that's coming, but it's more I hope that's coming. I don't know if it's coming, but I hope it's coming. It should come.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't come, the floodgates are open. We're going to be just taken out as shot for being Jew critical. It's that simple.
France and Germany are both on new lockdowns, lockdown two. But, you know, they
that's insane.
The migrants flooding in.
I mean, I swear that's half the battle. Is it's more effective when you have people, a slave population, just feed them utter, complete, contradictory nonsense and force them to go along with it. And pretty soon their soul and their mind are destroyed. Yeah. And they don't know whether they're coming or going, because nothing, it's better for the total. And I'm not the first one to say this. It's better if this stuff doesn't make sense. And nothing they say makes any sense about wearing the mask and the rest of it. It's just comply. With any nonsense we spout, you must get in line. I mean, it's utterly absurd.
Yes, it is. They lied to us right at the start. They continue to lie to us, and they will lie to us in the future. And there are still some people that think that that's that they're okay and they're doing, you know, they're doing the right thing to save the babies.
Oh yeah,
the babies.
I try to explain. I'm like, do you understand? I'm like to a person I know who acknowledges I know this one particular area. I'm like, I know the media 10 times better. I'm like, you cannot believe what you see on TV and try to reach them. But they're so authority and that tropism is so strong in most people that they just can't accept that. Yeah. The people on top hate you and are trying to kill you and they endlessly lie to you. And you might as well believe the reverse of what you see, even if they claim it's a blue skies outside, go check for yourself.
Yeah.
They lie about the weather. I mean, how many, it's not even a joke to say they lie about the weather. How many times have you seen, I've used the Atkins example before, I won't use that again, but how many times have you seen someone sitting like a canoe in a flooded street while other people walk by her and just laughing in the background? They lie even on that level. It's so instinctive with the media, you know, and now they won't let anyone even get out the other side, like about this Biden stuff where he's completely in the grip of these foreigners who are paying him for access.
It's almost as if they've lied so much to us, and especially the 2020 has been the year of, you know, lie upon lie upon lie, that they're in a situation, and it looks like to me, what a buffoon we have in government, Boris Johnson, that the scientific data, this Barrington Declaration, they're completely ignoring it and just continuing to lie because they really don't care. They don't care. That's, they're just piling on.
I swear, the biggest development is...
Well, the Germar Rudolph trial is also interesting. You know, the going after Germar, the powerhouse of modern day historical revisionism. He, of course, did time already in Germany. He's one of the revisionist heroes. He was extradited from the United States, did time, then went back. And the way that they're going after him, because they would like nothing better than to re-extradite Germar for further crime, thought crime.
Oh, wow.
But they got him because Germar is a fitness workout freak. And he's, you know, one of these very Germanic, sober and responsible and productive Germanic man, and he does this workout, lives in Pennsylvania, and the climate there is to work out outdoors in the day in summer, so he goes very early in the morning and cycles down to the river and then swims and then cycles home. And he explains in his video that he wears these rather
We don't have the nudism a lot of Germans do. Let's put it
well, that's right. But he wears these kind of like Speedo bike shorts that are fluorescent pink so he can be seen in the twilight or in the early dusk, etc. So he can be seen. And yeah, he might change, you know, when he's come out of the river from his swim back into other cycling shorts before he cycles home. But on the, and there has been some... they have tried to target him for this before. He was caught. He says that he wasn't naked. He wasn't naked. He was wearing these kind of Speedo bike shorts, Speedo exercise shorts. And this cop came. It was like 4 in the morning, not even yet light. And he was on charges of lewd behavior and indecent exposure. He was found guilty, I don't know, a couple of months ago by the court. It's been going on for a year. This case to appeal, you know, it's another case of the Jewish lobby trying every method that they can to silence and persecute revisionists. So he's going to appeal that, but it's very strange because he was, you know, found guilty and got back on his bike in a rage of anger and had an accident. He rode into a deer. Must have sprang out of the forest, a broken shoulder, broken collarbone, huge bruising, etc. I don't know how the deer coped, but so he's been, you know, slightly put out of action. But he's written a book about his court case. and doing okay. I think he's got a crowdfunder up there to fund his legal appeal. They can't extradite him, in fact, because he's married and has a child, and I think he's the carer of his wife's another child.
Yeah.
They can't extradite him yet, but they need a charge of some kind of lewd behavior conviction that would be give them a reason for then to then deport him back to Germany.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Just all kinds of garbage. It's not even to call it technicalities, because that would imply he's wrong in any way. They just make stuff up. Mm-hmm. Is what they do. Mm-hmm. I knew he was married to an American, and within the last year or two, they kicked all of his books off of Amazon.com. So I always advise, I always post his stuff when he's trying to sell it to him.
Yeah, I mean, these gay pride marches in San Francisco, naked men and all this, and you've got a German who's just doing his workout routine, and he's dragged out in court for. And at 4:30 in the morning, you're going to expose yourself to who?
Nature.
I really think Jews find that kind of thing funny. That's their idea of something really funny.
Yeah.
Ironic. Yeah. I suspect.
Yeah.
But it's just complete garbage. Now he is a hero and has done, like you said, in technical. Yeah. Vision, right?
Is he a scientist?
I mean, he did what Lurkter did, but even more professionally. Oh yeah, he's like a PhD diploma in chemical engineering or something, and he started applying that chemical knowledge to basically what Fred Lurkter did, except more formally and professionally. He did the same kind of research to 100 times greater degree. So of course they don't want the Holocaust being technically disproven. By a serious, sober German PhD.
His PhD was the second Leuchter report, if you like, the Rudolf report.
Yeah, there you go.
The Max Planck Institute, but they withdrew his PhD because of the actual research, but
political reasons.
It was political reasons. Somebody wrote a foreword, and it was polemical in nature, and therefore he was not granted his PhD. They did the same to, was it Steglich, the German judge who wrote The Myth of Auschwitz. You get taken away and lose your tenureship if you dare say anything. I think Butz is about the only one who's managed to survive, but they've given him some crappy room down in the basement at the university, wherever he is. But he still lectures. We've still got Kevin MacDonald and others.
The only people who've done it were had tenure. It's basically Butz and MacDonald had tenure when they embarked upon this, and Butz did it in the 70s when it was a slightly freer than today.
Yeah.
But they don't, the Jews don't want anyone with professional qualifications, money, or social standing to be telling the truth about them. And they will go to any means to destroy any person who qualifies on those fronts.
And that will serve as a warning to others who might be tempted to go the same way.
And it will reinforce their lie that only scum living in their grandmother's basement oppose them. All respectable people just love them, some Jews.
Yes. That all white nationalists are dumb and retarded. They used that line in South Africa against the white right.
And they used
that line against the Germans. Oh, a dumb Hun, idiotic German, which is kind of stupid when you discover that the Germans invented just about everything, from helicopters and missiles, cruise missiles, you name it, kind of a thin one. But they do their utmost to dominate that. Yeah, so it's very sad about Gemar Rudolf.
He'll keep fighting, and we all will. And so that's a very good wrap-up of the broad situation in Europe from Allison. Now, we have one continent left to cover, and I don't know very much about it. So that's going to leave you, Jan. What in the world is going on in South Africa?
Okay.
What kind of banana-based shenanigans are they up to down there?
We've got all sorts of nonsense going on, just some quick things. And yesterday I went to a shopping center, and when I went to the shopping center, I saw a bunch of heavy police anti-riot vehicles blocking off the street. And Julius Malema's a communist, and he's openly called for the genocide of whites in the past. But since him, there have been other blacks who've openly called for the genocide of whites. And all of these blacks, they get away with this. And Malema's people, they are
They are basically newfound communists. They just call themselves by a different name. They call themselves the EFF, Economic Freedom Fighters, but they wear red T-shirts. You know, it's old Soviet stuff, really. They wear red T-shirts. They say, we want our land and we want our jobs. And so it's all about stealing the land from the whites. The government has already passed the land seizure laws, but it seems as though they are a bit watered down compared to what we were expecting. However, we're not totally sure, and I haven't dug enough into it to find out what the farming community thinks. So it may be slightly watered down, though those land seizure laws are nasty. And they are not, I repeat, they are not just about seizing land. Those land seizure laws are so broadly written that they can come and seize your house, they can seize your car, they can even seize your intellectual property in South Africa. They can seize anything they want. That is how broadly it's written. It's very nasty. But another thing that's happening with Malema at the moment is Malema assaulted a white policeman at a point. So now he's in court for assaulting this white Afrikaans policeman. Interestingly enough, the Jewish Board of Deputies, which we will discuss shortly, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies are basically the ADL of South Africa. And the Jewish Board of Deputies normally have as their legal guy, a guy called Ian Levitt. But Ian Levitt is currently busy defending Julius Malema, the communist racist who's been attacking the whites. Levitt is busy, the Jew Levitt is busy defending Malema in that court case for assault. So that's where that stands. Just one other final piece of news about South Africa that's also huge. The land seizures is huge, but the other one that's been talked about, and it looks like we're on the brink of it, is the South African government has been borrowing so much money, and this COVID thing, interestingly enough, COVID has harmed the economy to such an unbelievable amount that the country is really going down in a big way. And they say that the income taxes and everything have dropped like a rock. Meanwhile, the government is just spending, spending, spending. And so South Africa is now on the edge of the government itself is on the edge of bankruptcy and default. They've been talking more and more about us going down the path of Argentina and defaulting on our debt. And that's interesting because I've been watching the ratings agencies in the USA, Moody's and the others. And in recent years, those ratings agencies have been pushing South Africa's credit rating down, 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 until I think all of them now have put us in junk bond status. And our government is just spending like crazy. And the Jews are constantly trying to help these blacks to get money. So they put out all the stories that they can to try and get more loans for these blacks. But the truth of the matter is that South Africa is a bottomless pit. And these guys are spending like crazy. They're inefficient. They're also putting all their buddies in high places, giving them increases. So all they've been doing is like kicking out the skilled labor, bringing in the dead wood, and paying them more. And so the whole system is overloaded with all kinds of new inefficiencies, bad performance, etc. And the country is getting ready to tank. But I reckon worse is better. Let the ship sink. And, you know, Alex, like you're saying, we're struggling with people who are waking up, who need to wake up. Well, a lot of white South Africans and a lot of people in South Africa, they think the money will flow forever. They don't know how economics really works. And I can tell you from the Rhodesian, Zimbabwean experience and other experiences, there comes a point where the money just dries up and suddenly things are gone. And I think huge numbers of South Africans, including whites, they think the money will never stop flowing and they're in for the shock of their lives. Things like, can the banks hit the wall? These are things that people don't even think about and they're in for some surprises. The government had to bail out the national airline yet again. I'm not sure if it's the third time or however many times it is. The electricity company Eskom has been resuming load shedding. It also needs big money. The bottom line is they are just spending money like crazy, but the ship is sinking. It's not going to work. This is a bottomless pit, and I reckon the sooner the torpedo hits, the better. And then on my personal front, I've had the South African ADL coming at me. But the way that it came, Alex, is the first I learned of it was on the 24th of July when a policeman arrived at my gate. And I see this strange guy. He wasn't in a uniform, but I see this black guy at the gate and he's hooting and I go to the gate and I ask him who he is, and he says he's a captain in the police. And I say, why are you here? And he said, I'm here for police business. And he had a file in his hand, and he shows me his badge. And he tells me, I've got a criminal case against you. And I'm like, really? A criminal case, like, against me? And Alex, in January 2021, I will have lived in South Africa for 40 years. 40 years. I came here as a teenager. In 40 years, I've never once set foot in a South African court of law. I've not been a plaintiff. I've not been a defendant. I've not even been involved in a civil case, and definitely never involved in a criminal case. And here is this guy saying to me that there's this woman, and she's a professor, and she's laid a criminal charge of a crime called crimen injuria against me. And so I say to him, how can I have committed a crime against a woman I don't even know? I don't know this person. I've never met this person. Who is this person? How can I commit a crime against somebody I've never met and I don't know they exist? And I ended up having to give him an interview and a statement and all that about this whole issue. And that was the 24th of July. And then, Alex, just over a week ago, about 10 days ago, I get visits, almost a little bit like Alison. I get a visit and there are three cops pitching up at my gate. And one of them is like in civilian clothes, but he's rather buffy and he's armed. And these three cops are at my gate and they say also a police criminal matter. And so they come into my property and they inform me that the same person has now laid a criminal charge of harassment against me. And they then start telling me that according to these court documents, that I'm a violent person. They say that their belief is that I'm a violent person and that, you know, they were like prepared in case I resist against them and so forth. So that was kind of freaky. And they gave me a big, thick document that I had to sign for. And that was now a charge of harassment. Same person. In all the criminal cases against me, this lady states in the documents that she's representing the Jewish Board of Deputies. So she lays the charge, but she's representing the Jewish Board of Deputies. And it turns out that she is the vice chairperson of the Jewish Board of Deputies. So although these cases are aimed about me apparently committing crimes against her, the fact of the matter is that the Jewish Board of Deputies, she's a senior person in it, and it's mentioned in there, even though this is apparently an incident that occurred between her and me. And the so-called harassment relates to me putting out a video update on my website about her, and she now claims that that's harassment. And so the first case has not gone to court, the crimen injuria one, but the harassment one, she went to the court to try to get the court to issue court orders against me to seize my passport, to seize my computers and phones, to seize basically everything and to shut me down completely. The documents state there that she wants my websites taken down. She wants all my social media accounts shut. Since the time of the cops being here in this last time, my Facebook account has been terminated. But she actually went to court to try and get the court to issue orders for all those things without me being aware of it. And so it's only when the cops arrived that I now realize that she's already been in court for the second time. And so I have to appear in court a week from now in order to for this harassment issue. But that is pretty much what has come at me out of the blue. Oh, yes. And then the other thing that happened is I was contacted by a journalist. There are many things in her documents, and you can't really talk about the internals of the stuff since it's going to be in the court case. But what I will tell you is that she was claiming a bunch of things. And the next thing is I get a phone call about 2 days ago from a journalist from the biggest media company in South Africa. It's got a huge internet presence. And the journalist tells me that he wants to ask me my comments on this story. And he sends me a list of questions about my cases. And the next thing is this now hits the mass media. And so it's hitting the mass media today. It hit probably about 10 hours or so ago. And it's probably going to do the rounds across the world. And so...
Is there a reason not to mention what that source is, that media is?
I would prefer to not mention specific businesses, Alex. But very well known.
It's out there circulating. They're publishing it and putting it out in public, right?
Absolutely. So
they're publishing. Yeah, okay.
So the guy asked me for my comments. A very important thing in South Africa is that there is a law that if the media write about you, that they must contact you for your comments. And so I did give my comments. But the article that they published it for subscribers only. So I haven't been able to see the contents of the article, and I haven't been able to see whether my comments are in the article, nor have I had a chance to see if the article is accurate. But there are many, many, let's just say there are many discrepancies in all of these actions that are going on. And I even asked the journalist, I said to him, how was it that you got to know about my case? And then he didn't answer me. So there's a bunch of stuff going, Alex, and it's just coming one after the other. So I think personally that this organization is busy orchestrating a whole bunch of actions against me. And I have no idea what other things could still come. And I suspect I could be in for all kinds of nasty surprises. But that is my little summary.
They're doing to you what they're accusing you of doing to them. So they're harassing and persecuting you because you're telling the truth about them.
Alex, pardon me for interrupting, Allison. Alex, that is exactly how I was feeling about the whole thing. Even before the harassment thing came, there is a law in South Africa, a law against intimidation. There's a specific law against intimidation in South Africa. And the law states something along these lines. It says that if you go and you force some person
to do something they would not have done otherwise. Or you force a person to stop doing something that they would have done, then that is intimidation. And, you know, when I was looking at this thing, I was thinking, firstly, the Jewish Board of Deputies is going around South Africa intimidating people. They go to people of all races, and they go and they force them to do something different to what they would do normally. And the other thing is that here I'm dealing with an organization that basically represents the super rich. You're talking billionaires, multimillionaires, and here is a massive organization that represents 52,000 Jews, the richest people, the richest, best connected people in the country. And that organization's coming after me, and I'm a one-man band running a website. I'm one guy. I don't even have an organization. And I'm thinking to myself, I should be the one that's running to the court saying, please, please, can the government and the police give me protection against the rich? The super rich are coming after me. And that's how I truly feel about this thing, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the police.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how it works.
It's the same. They're the same. They're the same organization. It's all one big organization, one big cathedral against us, anti-white. That's what they want to do.
And cops are like a concierge service for the organized Jews, is what it is.
Yes. And working in the interests of Jews and against the interests of. Of whites,
as if we have any interests, you know. And the other thing is that, you know, if we look at what's happening to you and others who are in court, if you look at Facebook with its mass banning of anything to do with the Holocaust that's just come through now, look at Amazon and the removal of hundreds of books. You know, we are living in a time of the greatest censorship in the history of the world right now. And these Jews are going after white people mostly, but actually anybody they can lay their hands on across the Western world. And, you know, people don't seem to be aware of this massive thing that's moving, and it's global. Whether you're in Canada or South Africa or France or Britain or Germany, they're coming after you, man.
Yes, Scotland, I forgot to mention, in Scotland as well, there is a separate parliament in Scotland at Holyrood, and they're kind of like a turnaround. Anything that gets implemented first in Scotland, it will be implemented later on in England. For example, smoking ban, that was one. This week, their Home Secretary, who is a Muslim, announced that hate speech around the dining table must be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's some raghead that was saying that, exactly. That was just making the round yesterday.
Yeah, kids going in. I mean, they're going to pursue your parents. Go on, kids going in.
I'm telling you, I've always believed they're eventually going to locate racism, their bogus concept, in the brain and demand that all white people get a chip implanted or some kind of lobotomy to cut out the racism. They would absolutely do that. Whenever you find out what Jews are doing, sit back and take it to the ultimate extent, and that is absolutely where they're headed. And it sounds like a joke, unless you understand them.
The
logical end of people making anti-Jew comments is they should be shot, and that's what they actually believe. Yeah. It's just they don't think they can get away with that quite yet. But if the Antifa took over, absolutely, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
And we have the model of the Soviet Union, and that happened there. And we have that they won't even translate Solzhenitsyn's book about Jews and Russians because it points out stuff like this, that the people who produced the revolution were not Russians, they were damn Jews. And they hated Russians, and they, you know, their leadership was made up of these people, and they killed off millions and millions of people. Mm-hmm. So it's not a joke by any means. And yeah, it's completely kept out of the mass media. You know, they got their crazy leftists, and they got their fake right opposition, and together they collude to prevent the reality from ever appearing on screen. And most people, they've proved this. They watch TV all the time in the hours they're not working, and that's what they believe.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's pretty cut and dried.
Yeah, Alison, I think the kinds of things that are happening to me when I listen to your court cases and what's happened to you, it looks like I'm going to walk a very similar path to you. Even some of the terms used in my stuff sounds like some of the terms they've used against you.
Yes. Oh, yes. In the Topham trial, there was obviously this. I explained about these emails before. So there was. They're all, and as Alex said, they're all interconnected and talking with each other. And the ADL is coordinating with the instructions directly from Tel Aviv and going to all the Canada B'nai B'rith, all these organizations, and they are determined to carry on. They will defend their stories to the hilt at all costs and invert everything that we see and do. Say, that's a recent term, isn't it? The accusatory inversion. That's what they do.
Do you think
it's exactly the same? Yes, Jan, as my experience. And why, you know, they go after me, little old me. I was just a musician on a cruise ship. You know, that was me, doing a few gigs, few open mics, nothing. You know, I was quite happy. My life, my daughter, grown up, you know, done my career and everything, and just happily doing my cruise contracts. And boom, they really went after me. And It's just this fine line that we must, you know, go for that, because even Jews have seen it, that, you know, because my stuff was me posting my stuff online, not sent to anybody, but I was done for sending grossly offensive messages. It's that's where people really start to see that they're, you know, it might be worth speaking out, because their freedom risks, you know, well, what freedoms remain. Risk being removed very quickly. As we see, that is what is happening. People gagged, and more and more court cases, etc. Jeremy Corbyn suspended from the Labour Party. It's unbelievable. I think it's quite a good result. You know, to be honest, I'm glad that that this has happened, and I'm sure that your case and my own, it's all it does is shine a spotlight on what's happening and serves to red pill more and more people on these questions. As Alain Soral says, you know, we take the hits. It's a form of self-sacrifice. What we do, we take the hits to show who's dishing out the hits.
That's well said, Alison. Yeah, you know, they want silence, and that is clear from all my court documents. And I've published thousands of things on my website, and they focus on like one particular article keeps coming up in all their documents, even though it's not relevant to anything that they are charging me with. But they want the silence. They want us to be silenced. That's the key. And when they silence our ability to speak, that's when they win. That's victory.
They can't do that. It's too late now. It's too late with the internet. That's why they're desperately trying to be.
I hope so.
It's too late. I think it's too late. People will find other ways. Quite a lot of people have left Google recently. They're going to DuckDuckGo, and more and more people, and I think COVID-19 as well has helped to make people realize that government is not working in the interests of the people that they're supposed to serve.
I agree with you, because COVID, there are lots of aspects of COVID that, when I look at it, those lockdowns, those hideous lockdowns, and the destruction that it's bringing, and yet it's having the right effect. You've got scientists and doctors and all kinds of medical people now saying, what the hell is this? I was having a discussion. Yes. I was having a discussion with my dentist. My dentist said to me, because his brother's a doctor, he said to me, understand this, COVID isn't going to go away.
It's going to be there next year and the year thereafter and the year thereafter. Are we going to have lockdowns forever? And he said that anyway, when you get exposed to it, you're going to get some kind of immunity. So you need to be exposed to it at some point in time. By the way, I laughed at Donald Trump in his talk in Arizona. He said that scientists say that when you get immunity, the immunity is forever. But he said once he got COVID, they said to him that his immunity is only for 4 months. So anyway.
Yeah, I think that's 2020.
Yeah, I wish the mask stuff would go away, but it really, it looked like it was going to lighten up, and then it got a little stricter. So half the shops here, you still got to wear one.
Yeah, you don't have to wear one thing here. They can't force it on you.
No, here it's law.
You can even print off exemption.
No, here it's the law. You cannot go into the public without wearing a mask. So, but even so, I won't mention where and when I've seen exceptions. I've seen some crazy things that have made me laugh. So the government can make laws, but I've seen some funny shit.
See, Biden's talked about doing that. If he were to win, that he would like to make it mandatory to wear a mask in public. But most people are against that. But the larger chains are tending to force people to wear masks, at least where I am.
No, they've not got that.
Like Walmart, for instance.
They've not got that in England.
So you can walk without masks.
That's better.
Yeah, and most people are walking without masks. There have been big demonstrations.
Good.
Big demonstration last weekend. And in Berlin, loads of places, loads of huge demonstrations. I mean, we all know, don't we, it's the Great Reset. Being controlled by the same people who want the great replacement. It would, you know, the economy was heading that way anyway. So rather than blame the bankers, let's get this pandemic going, and the big pharmaceutical. I say it's the most dangerous lobby of all, because it's not political on the surface. It's supposed to care for people and save people's lives and create all these wonderful medicines, etc. But it's not. It's all about profit and money. They don't care about saving people's lives. I see the cancer industry, what they've done to people like David Noakes and Lynn Fire, who were in the same prison in France as Hervé Riesen. For offering, you know, alternatives to the pharmaceutical cancer treatments. So,
yeah, they got a cartel going. You can only treat people if you go to this thing, and they've had that for over 100 years, even before the banking. They had a medical cartel, the AMA. That's what keeps prices high, and it takes forever to see one. And most importantly, you can't supply medical services because you have to have whatever they claim the qualifications are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could get, I've used this example a lot, like if you wanted to get a midwife, in half the states, that's like illegal. But those people, I mean, there's lots of Mennonites and Amish around who know everything about, you know, birthing a baby, who could help you for maybe $1,000 or $2,000. And if you go into a hospital, then you either got insurance or you got to spend, you know,
hey, and it's the most natural thing in the world, isn't it? You
know, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, and plus, you know, they with it. But no, they've made it so that, you know, the doctor is a pope, and it's just absurd. The U.S. state, central state, basically has to end. It's just a gigantic mess. Everything it touches gets worse.
Okay.
And you try to avoid it, but, you know, if you're going to speak in public and say these sorts of things, then, yeah, you're under its eye, and it's quite dangerous.
Yeah.
No matter which country you're in.
Yeah.
Well, Jan, anything else to say about South Africa? We've been going on probably about long enough, and we could wrap it up.
I've got nothing further to say, Alex. That's pretty much my feedback.
Well, it's, I guess,
great.
Maybe
it's great talking.
We
to
get
you
together later. We're going to have an election here in a few days, so maybe in a few you could do another show and just see how it's worked out. Okay, well, that's quite an interesting report from Jan in South Africa. We heard everything and updates on all the cases from Allison, and we heard a little from me about the state of the USA with its endless riots and lying, controlling, tyrannical media. no different from anywhere else in that respect. That should about do it for our Tricontinental Team White report today. We want to thank Allison for being with us, and we'd like to have her back and do this again in a couple weeks after the U.S. election takes place and we see if all the violent rioting that's already going on continues or gets even worse, as many suspect it will. But thank you, the listener, for being with us to get some actual uncensored global media from the point of view of white people and their interests, something you get very few other places. So thanks for being with us, and we'll be back with you again for another Team White Intercontinental Report, Tricontinental Report, real, real soon.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.